This is Game On. With your host, Zeke Williams.
Game On!
Back on the streets of Vegas, feeling good here on a Thursday, Zeke Williams. Ari's got the wheels of steel, plenty to get to today. Coming up in that final go-round, Rebel tickets. They play Mississippi Valley State coming up December 20th. We'll get you tickets for that in that final go-round. Also, bottom of the hour, lighters up, dope. Some good stuff lined up for that as well. John Cicente, he was going to be our special guest. He's up in Boise, caught up in some interviews there. So we'll get you more information on the Las Vegas Bowl, but... All right, I'm going to do this for the first time. I'm opening up the phone lines. 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. And the question is this. You've seen it, and we know about the rivalry between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we saw it firsthand on Monday night. Down 17-0, the Steelers battled back, got the victory. But we saw it last year, some cheap shots in the dirtiest player in the league. Vontaze Burfict ate his lunch. Juju Smith-Schuster put him out and then stood over him and perhaps took one on him. He got a one suspension game. Brown got hit in the end zone. That suspension was lifted. Nate Shazier, great linebacker, not just for the Steelers, but an upcoming kid. We saw him go down and have to get taken out on a flatbed, a stretcher. His situation is real bad. As a matter of fact, the team had to leave him in the hospital in Cincinnati on Monday night. They just got him back to Pittsburgh last night, and we still don't know. He's going to have to go some type of surgery on his spine and his back to relieve the tension there, and so we'll see what happens. The question is this at 702-365-9200. Would you let your kid play football? And I mean tackle football, son or daughter. 702-365-9200. It's a topic that everyone is talking about right now, so I wanted to bring it to you, our public. So give us a call right now. Let us know. First call on the line, it was at Charles. Charles, you're on. Game on.
Hey, how you doing? It's Charlie. But, yeah, no, man. There's no way I would let my kid play football. The injuries, they could be life-lasting. Nah, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
Why not? Because of the violence of the game?
Yeah, I mean, the impact. I mean, all it takes is one good hit, and my kid could be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. He could be paralyzed for the rest of his life. He could have his brain scrambled for the rest of his life. All it takes is one good hit. One cheap shot from some kid who, you know, doesn't care, you know, hitting my son from behind, you know. I mean, that's all it takes. I had a younger brother who played football back in high school. He got clipped from behind, and luckily his broken neck didn't last. It was just a swollen spinal cord. So, no, I wouldn't let my 18-year-old play football when he was growing up. It's not going to happen.
Okay, Charlie, did you play football? Do you play any sports coming up?
Yeah, actually, I played football, wrestling, and baseball. But I like football because I was a hitter. So, but I wouldn't let my son do that. No, I couldn't do it.
All right, we appreciate the call.
All right, have a good one.
You too. Charlie called 702-365-9200. 702-365-9200. The question is, would you allow your kid to play tackle football? I would. Okay, I may be up against the curb, but I played football. I remember getting a concussion when I played junior varsity football at San Diego High. I played it. What about you? 702-365-9200. Ruben, you're next.
What's good, RC?
How are you, brother? I'm doing well.
I'm doing good, man. Miss you, man. This is, I know you jump shit. I mean, switch different shows, but I'm here. I'm listening. Man, we're getting soft. We're getting soft as a society, as a country. I would let my kids play football. You know, you could get hit by lightning. You could get run over by a car. And there's so many other things that could happen to you. You know, it's called life.
You know, I'm with you. Listen, here's the thing. It's a violent sport. It's a collision sport. It really is. It's not. It's more than just a contact sport. We call it Some people call it a contact sport. No, there's contact in basketball. There's contact in baseball when the ball hits the bat. But it's violent in football. You have to understand, if your kid's going to play, there's some measures of danger involved. But if your kid really wants to play, then I would let my kid play. I played. Moms let me play. Every kid in the neighborhood when I came up that wanted to play, that had the money to pay, I mean, they were able to play. But I get it. There are people afraid now. But obviously, Ruben, tell me this. What's the difference between the way we played it and the way they played it, the way they're playing it today? There's no difference.
It's just right now there's just too many regulations, rules where I understand they're trying to protect players and protect people, but it's just that you can't teach, you know, when you're going full speed in a contact sport, you can't just, oh, let me stop. You know, it's just that we make a choice in life. Our country has a lot of things going on right now, but this is what makes our country great. We make a choice in life. We could do what we want to do. No one forces us to play sports. No one forces us to play football in general, but I mean, anything could happen to us. Anything could happen to us any day. You know, very grateful, thankful we're here, alive, breathing. But, I mean, it's just maybe better techniques, better, you know, different ways of hitting. But when you're going 1,000 miles an hour, you know, certain hits, yes, are understandable. But certain hits, you know, they just happen. That's just a part of life. Things happen. Like I said, you could get hit by lightning. You could get hit by a car, you know. I'm not even guaranteed I'm going to make it home tonight, you know, which, you know, you never know. Just we live every day, day at a time, you know. We can't. You know, society's getting too soft, man. I'm sorry.
I agree with you, but here's the thing. Now I understand it. You see your kid out there. You're playing. You're a parent. You're off work. You get to see them practice. You get to see them play. Some parents can't even stay on the sidelines because they want their kid in there more. But I agree with you 110%. If I had a kid, I would let him play. Do you have kids?
That I know of, no. But I got nephews and nieces. I watch my nephew. He plays football, basketball, wrestling.
How old?
You know, he's, I think, 9 years old right now, 10 years old.
Okay.
10 years old.
I appreciate you, man.
All right, good talking to you, Seed. I haven't heard you in a while since you were on the other station with Grainy, but it's good to hear you. I listen to you as much as I can, and you keep up the good work, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Rube. All right, 702-365-9200. Question. Would you let your kid play football? And listen, this comes on the brink of what we saw Monday night. It was violent. Look, there used to be times when I was a kid coming up and in my young adulthood when I would see hits like the ones we saw Monday night, and I would go, ooh. But now when I see it, I cringe. I'll be honest. I can't. The hits are so violent. And then you hear the leather pop. Somebody hits another player and you hear the, and it's just a crushing sound. It's devastating. But, yes, I would let my kid play. And for those of you that won't, I understand it. You know, it's not like you're chumping out or anything of that nature.
I got Charlie back up. He wants to respond to you guys about, because he has kids.
Okay, go ahead, Charlie.
Yo, this is Charlie again. That guy that was just on the other line, I understand where he's coming from, and I understand where you guys are coming from. But neither one of you have children of your own. You're not the one who has to pay the doctor's bills. You're not the one that has to be in the hospital and watch your kids suffer. I've had that with my son's motorcycle. I let my son ride dirt bikes, and he crashed several times, and he was injured, broke bones. I said, and now this guy's saying you can be struck by lightning, you can get hit by a car. Well, guess what? You're on the field, and you're guaranteed to get struck by another person. That's a guarantee. A lightning in a car accident is a chance, but you're guaranteed to do it in a collision sport like football. So you guys that don't have children, it's easy for you to say that I would let my child play. You don't know that until you have your own flesh and blood, not a relative's kid, that can go home to that relative. I'm talking about your own child, your own baby, getting smashed by somebody else. So it's easy for you guys to say, and I appreciate your opinion because this is America, but I think you're both wrong when you have your own kid and you want to, and you see your own kid put in harm's way like that, you'll have a second thought. Okay, Charlie out.
All right, Charlie dropping the mic. Damn, there he goes.
I gave him another chance just in case he wanted to say
that's
more.
That's crazy. You know, that's the first time a caller on any of my shows ever called back right afterwards and had a rebuttal. Hey, no, you don't have any kids.
That's
well,
awesome.
You know, you're right. But All right, if you have a kid, or even if you don't, you have an opinion here. Like Ruben said, he has nieces and nephews. Yes, he would allow them to play if he had kids. I would, but I don't. But Charlie makes common sense. He says, hey, you guys don't have any kids. You don't know what it's like. He had to pay for some medical bills after his kid took a spill on a motorcycle. Well, football's reality. And I said this before. Many other talk show hosts have said it as well. What you're watching today in football, what you watched a year and 2 years ago, you will not be seeing 10 years from now. Football's going to change. There's no way the commissioner and everyone on his committee is going to continuously allow players to get hurt. What happened to Nate Shazier of the Steelers,
Ryan,
was just, what's that, is it Ryan?
Ryan.
Excuse me, Shazier, I beg your pardon. I'm calling him Nate, but calling him out of name. But nevertheless, it was a clean hit. What he did that was incorrect, he got his head lower than he should have. He lowered his head at the last minute. And when you lower your head on impact, and keep in mind another teammate of his was hitting from the other side. So a player was being hit from another side by a Steeler. Shazier was hitting the guy, and the weight of the player came down on his neck and busted his spine and the bottom part of his spine on his back. And as I said, Monday, Coach Mike Tomlin walked into the hospital. Remember, it was raining pretty hard that night. Sat down with him, and they had to leave because their flight was coming back, going back to Pittsburgh. But Coach Tomlin was there, and he said, yeah, our hearts are with us. And then so you also had Roethlisberger talk with him, and Roethlisberger said, listen, go beat the Ravens, all right? His whole thing was, Shazier, go win the games. So what are your thoughts? Would you let your kid play football? You've seen the violence in the sport. 702-365-9200. I kind of feel bad about saying I would now after Charlie called back and spanked us both and then dropped the mic on us.
Dropped the line, yeah. I don't have kids, but my thought is just simply that sometimes, yeah, we've grown soft and all. I hear that a lot. We're so soft. But sometimes people don't know any better for their own good. Sometimes someone needs to be the voice of reason and step in, and they need to update some regulations, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, it's a violent sport, okay? You'll probably say, I prefer my kid to play baseball. I prefer my kid to play hoops. Prefer my kid to wrestle or whatever other sport. You know what? You get hit in the head with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball in the wrong spot, let's say behind the ear, you could find yourself in a tragic situation also, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. But on the other side, you're looking at football where, like Charlie said, our first caller, every play you're guaranteed to get hit. Patrick called 702-365-9200. Patrick, how are you?
What's going on, Steve? How you doing?
Doing great, bro. What you got?
I have kids. I have four boys, and they played football before. So I wouldn't mind letting my kids play. They don't play anymore, but that's their choice. You know, I let them make a choice. If they want to play, they can play. If they don't want to play, they don't have to. I don't force them to.
How old are they?
I have a 13-year-old, a 11-year-old, 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old.
And you would let all of them play if they wanted?
If they wanted to, I would let all of them play.
Okay, you saw the game Monday. The violence, yeah. The hits are very, very horrific. Do you have a solution?
My solution is lower levels. They really need to start teaching these kids how to hit. Because it's a proper way to hit, and it's an improper way to hit. You know, you have to hit with your head up, you know, pretty much face mask forward. You should never lead with the crown of your helmet. That's where all the injuries come in at, is when you see these players leading with the crown of their helmets.
I will say this. Hang on for a minute if you want, Patrick. When you see the hits take place, you're thinking to yourself, okay, all right, that's the way kids were taught. You go back to when Roger Goodell, in the middle of the season, what was it, maybe 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when he made the decision, all right, if you spear somebody, you're going to be fined right away. And you might get tossed out the – well, not tossed out the game, but you will get a penalty. It's called spearing. You can't spear. You can't hit with your helmet anymore. He brought that rule in the middle of the season. The problem is this. The generation playing That's the way they were all taught to hit. So in the middle of the season, now everyone's making adjustments, and you can get injured a bit worse because you didn't learn the other technique when you were coming up.
And you're exactly right, and that's where the problem in lies. You know, the kids that are coming up now, you know, they're being taught differently. You know, I used to coach high school football over at Legacy at the freshman level.
Right.
And we always taught our kids, you know, hit with your head up. Don't lead with your head unless you want to get hurt.
See, when I was a kid, we were taught to spear, and I'm not kidding. And when I played JV high school football back when I played in San Diego, we were taught to take your helmet and stick it right in their stomach, stick it under their chest, spear. That was what we were taught. And when you're taught that way, you can't make an adjustment in the middle of the season. Here's the thing is this, and thanks for the call, Patrick. We'll get you back in a minute, all right?
No problem.
The deal is this. When you're taught that way and the generations that you're on are taught that way, how in the heck are you going to do it any differently? You really can't. That's the way you were taught to hit. So it's going to take generations before we get to a point that the next generation being taught like Patrick just said, which is right, you got to catch them young. That new generation is going to be taught not to hit with your head down, but it's going to take time before that all turns over. 702-365-9200. Would you let your kid play football, tackle football? Mike, you're up.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing great, brother.
Yeah, hey, good, good, man. Check this out. I would allow my son to play football, but the problem is that I agree with the gentleman previous caller about they're not teaching the kids the right way on how to tackle and everything. But yes, I would allow my kid to play football.
You have a kid or you plan on having kids? We lost him. Okay. That's good enough. Mike? He called 702-365-9200. It's the first time I've opened up the phone lines. I just thought watching the game Monday, and I listen to so many radio shows. I watch them on TV. I listen on radio. And the fire topic right now, top shelf, happens to be football. Would you let your kid play? I mean, I would. I'm sorry. And I say that, and Charlie's got me feeling kind of guilty now because Charlie said, you don't have any kids. How do you know? He's right. I don't. I don't have any kids, and I really don't know. But I played, and I think I would. He's right, though. And I'm kind of backing off a little because unless you have a kid, there's so many things you can really suggest that you would do, things that you wouldn't do with your kid. I'll tell you what, if I did have a kid and he got in line, I'd spank his butt. Okay? That's pretty old school I'd stay with. But playing football, man, do you realize how much fun it is as a kid to play sports with other kids and play against other kids? And the thing you want more than anything when you're a kid coming up, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, any sport, you want to play against your rival in that neighborhood. Somebody that you grew up with or that you're growing up with that may live down the street, you want them to be on the other team so you can show them, you know? But to take that away from a kid, I get it because of the safety measure. But on the other hand, I don't know. You guys help me out. You don't have to have a kid to give your opinion. So my opinion has so much of a measure because I don't have any children. But for those of you out there that want to give your opinion, drop it. I'll take it right here. Lynn just called 702-365-9200. Lynn, you're on Game On. How are you, brother?
What's happening, Pete?
How you doing, bro?
I want to jump in. I don't have kids either, but I think I have an opinion about it because I love the game. And if my kid loves the game as much as I did, I respect the fact that he would want to play the game. I would sit down and have a talk with him and explain to him the risks involved. But as a grown man or an adult, you have to make a decision. But even as a young kid, you have to make a decision. If you're old enough to make a decision.
Yeah. You don't have to have a kid to believe you would. Did you play ball then?
I did.
Okay. So you know what it's like. You've taken the violent hits. You've laid the violent hits, so you kind of understand what's going on there, right?
Oh, absolutely. It comes down to completely aware. Some of these guys maybe stick around the game too long. We've seen guys like Patrick Willis and some of those 49er guys, Barry Sanders, leave the game early. If you love the game, to not be able to allow somebody that wants to play the opportunity to play at all, I don't know if I would be on board with that decision.
All right. I appreciate you, brother. Hey, I appreciate all the callers. We're going to keep it rocking here. We got the phones are lit at 702-365-9200. Larry, I believe we got Larry. It's either Larry or Mike. Go ahead. Who's up there?
Hey, what's up, man? Sorry about that. I think I dropped the call.
Okay, this is Mike.
So, yeah, basically, again, I would allow my son to play. I don't have a son. I do have a daughter, but I would let my son play football. And you don't have to not have children to make a decision on what you would and would not do, okay? Because Charles, that gentleman that was on the call the other day, I mean, he let his kid ride motorcycles, and that's real dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, prior to him having that kid, I mean, he probably would have still decided to let his kid, you know, ride the motorcycles. But here's the problem with the youth sports today. I'm an ex-referee. I don't referee sports youth football anymore because of the coaches, okay, because they don't teach these kids the proper technique and how to even tackle another player. They don't even teach them how to line up on the line of scrimmage correctly, okay? It seems like they live their life vicariously through these kids. Now, if you can teach these kids at a young age on how to actually tackle, I mean, I think that it would improve the game. But they're more interested in winning and winning championships, okay, instead of trying to help these kids along the way, okay? Because I've seen it. I've been a referee. I've argued with coaches and everything, okay? Now, football is a dangerous sport. It really is. I don't think they should make any changes to it, okay? You signed up to play football. It's what you signed up to do, you know, and that's the risk that you take. I mean, I would play professional football if I had the skill to do it, knowing that there was CTE involved and knowing that I could get paralyzed. I would still play because I loved it. Just like when you go out to be a police officer or you go into the Navy or the Marines.
Right.
You know the risks that are involved with it, but it's something that you enjoy doing or you love to do, okay? And that's how I feel about football. So, yes, I would let my kid play knowing the dangers. And then once my kid got to a certain age, you know, I would let them, yes, definitely make their own decisions.
Appreciate you, Mike. Mike called 702-365-9200. Phones are lit. Let's go to, I believe, Larry. We got Larry up?
Okay, hold on. Let me put you on. Here we go.
Go ahead, Larry. What you got, my friend?
Hey, what's up, Seat, man? It's good. It's good to hear you. I've been rocking with you since the Stardust days.
Long time. Appreciate
you. You know, keep on listening to you. Yeah, this topic here is crazy. You know, I have a six-month-old son, and I think about that. I tell my wife, what am I going to do if he asks, Dad, I want to play football? What am I going to do? I honestly don't know. I don't know. When I grew up, I played football, I played baseball, I played basketball. But in my generation, I grew up in Hawaii in the 80s, we played tackle football, you know, during recess with a tennis ball. And we tackled, we hit each other. And playing football, you know, our coach said, man, you got to blow up that other dude coming across the field. That's the way we played. We were a lot rougher, I think, just growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But the speed, the power of these guys nowadays, it's on a different level. You know, I just don't know what I would tell my son. Goes, Daddy, I want to try to play football.
Wow.
I don't know. It's so difficult.
I feel you, brother. Hey, happy holidays to all of you. Thanks for the call, Larry. We'll take Derek as well. Derek, you with us, brother?
Yeah.
All right. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a difficult subject, man. I grew up old school, you know, killer man. I graduated in 97, 3 years varsity. I rarely got hurt. I was an offensive player.
Where? Here in town? Were you here in town?
I went to Valley.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, it's all about education. You got to teach the kids how to hit, you know, tackle and stuff. And it's crazy that You can get hurt. You can get killed in football, you know what I'm saying, if you don't tackle right or, you know, you're in the wrong position. So I feel the concerns.
I appreciate you, brother.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. And to all of you out there, not just the callers but the listeners abroad, happy holidays. We appreciate the reaction. Remember Jack Tatum and Ackerson, the two corners for the Raiders back in the 70s and 80s, they made bets. Their bets were who could knock the most players on the other team out. And at the end of the year, the other person had to buy the winner prime steak, the top-of-the-line steak. Remember Daryl Stingley, who Jack Tatum caught coming across the middle of the field for the Patriots, hit him. Back then it was legal to speared him, made sure he didn't make the catch, and Stingley lived the rest of his life in a wheelchair, paralyzed from his waist down. The irony of that is that Jack Tatum and Stingley never spoke after that. There was no apology, no apologies necessary back in the day. Eventually, Jack Tatum ended up diabetes and he lost one of his legs and was in a wheelchair. That's the irony of that. These guys were mean, man, back in the day. They played. Look, I remember as a kid, we used to go up to Balboa Stadium where the Chargers originally used to play. And we would play other streets, tackle football, no equipment, every Saturday. I remember walking home with a busted ankle or something. And that was, we were talking a good 5-6 miles all the way back home. We didn't have any medical assistance back then. We were just kids. And we wanted to be like the guys we were watching on TV, tough. No, I don't have any kids. I don't have any children. I do have a toy drive coming up we'll tell you more about. And I do a lot of charity work in the community. And I do love kids, everyone else's. However, I do believe I would let my kid play. I could say that and suggest that to myself and to you, but do I really know? No, because I don't have any children. But my suggestion also to you is sit down and have a serious conversation as parents before you allow your kid to play football or any other sport that may be violent, any other contact sport inside the squared circle, the octagon, whatever. But let them have an input. Okay, don't be LeVar Ball. Okay, don't be that control freak, because your kids need to have a little space. Let your kids have fun, okay? I had so much fun, so much freedom as a kid. Kids want to be free. Why do you think some kids run away? I never had to run away because I love being home, but I got to go out and do what I wanted. As a kids want to just have fun with other kids, man. And football is one way of doing it. I'm not going to say let your kids play, because you know what you want and don't want. You may not want to go and have to cringe while you're watching one of his teammates get carried off the field, even if it's not your own kid. However, I thank you for this this segment. First time we ever used the phone lines here on this side, and you guys are – I love you folk out there. All right, plenty coming up on the show. Coming up later, we do have the Rebel tickets we're giving away, and my goal is if I miss one day in a week for a giveaway, forgive me, but that's it. I want to give something away on this show every day, at least for the remainder of this year and as much as I can for next year. We got Rebel tickets. We've got the G-Nights, maybe some boxing matches that will be coming up. But my gift to you is you listen, I give back, and we have fun. And maybe I'll open up the phone lines a bit more. You guys are pretty good participants, and I appreciate you. Now, the toy drive before we go to a break. 4th annual Toy Drive for Hope, December 19th and 20th. I'll be in the same spot for those of you for the first time hearing it. 4th annual, so that means I've been there 3 years prior. I am in a mobile home provided by Kevin Hicks of Finley Acura, and we put it right in front of Truly Nolan, which is across from the airport at 6000 Southeastern. I'll be in there beginning two Tuesdays from now, December 19th and 20th. I'll be in there all day, all night. I believe the Rebels play on one of those nights, so you come through after a Rebel game. Bring toys. Bring toys. It's for the kids of the Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation, all right? And I get to see the kids when they come and get their toys, and it's a teardropper. It really is. These kids are fighting hard, and they want to have some fun and some joy, so help me out on that, all right? December 19th and 20th, I want to meet you. Come by. Bring your dogs in, man. I love little dogs, too. But bring some toys, and we'll get busy with that. All right, back to business. Dry your eyes out there, damn it. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Man, I've been saving for a special occasion.
Looks like a quarter pounder, man. Let's blow.
Man, be careful with that, man.
Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show is Dope.
3:36 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. You've heard of a fat cat before, right?
A fat cat.
Like, yeah, just like a saying. Like, oh, yeah, what a fat cat.
And they call me that.
How about a fat squirrel? Well, I'm going to take you back to Maplewood, New Jersey, where a woman named Michelle Boudreau of Maplewood said on her blog she provides candy, snacks, tissues, hand warmers, and other goodies on her doorstep every year during the holiday season. She's never had an issue before with somebody raiding their goodies outside the home. The thieves seem to be targeting the best stuff, including 25 squares of chocolate bars. So the family set up a surveillance camera to see what's going on. And they spotted this overweight, fat squirrel taking all the goodies. And the squirrel was sharp enough to get the best good candy. So this happened on Tuesday. She says, quote, "I mean, this squirrel was obese, a jolly old chap. He must be prepping for the decade of winter." That's what she wrote. Okay, her husband tried to chase the squirrel to see where it was hoarding up with the treats, but it made a clean getaway. Must be a secret squirrel, right? Back in the that's old school. Verdue said she stumbled upon the thieving rodent in the act yesterday and recorded it taking more chocolate and Carmex lip balm.
What
do you do with the lip balm? Well, you know, we kind of get dry up in this part of the country. So they haven't caught him yet. So Secret Squirrel is on a mission. I got to fatten up. It's real cold. I'm going in this hole. I'm going to hibernate for the winter. Secret Squirrel, you dope.
I love that story. Are they the ones that put in their cheeks, right? They store all that? That's all I can picture is like a squirrel with a bunch of Kit Kats in his
you
cheeks.
You thieving, baby. You thieving. Smart squirrel. Snatch and grab.
That's awesome.
That is.
Mine is actually local and totally different than yours, but it's very good. There is AAA Nevada. They have Navaya Arma Shuttle. It is a new driverless electric shuttle that premiered this week on the streets of downtown Las Vegas. Their egg-shaped shuttle is capable of, quote, communicating with traffic signals, sharing the road with other vehicles, and stopping for pedestrians. It's all, like, through computerized stuff, electric stuff. Free rides will be offered over the next year, carrying up to 11 passengers. It's a half-mile loop in the Fremont East neighborhood. They had Penn and Teller and Danica Patrick to launch the event, which was actually yesterday, from downtown Container Park. It is a shuttle by a French company, Navya, and it underwent a 10-day test in January. They had traffic lanes blocked along designated route. And this time, the same thing's going to happen, but it will be with actual vehicles. So they're really going to test it out, and it's ready to go. So I thought that was pretty dope. A couple of specs on it. It's two-wheel drive, 15-kilowatt electric motor, top speed of 25 miles per hour. And they're going to operate mostly between 10 and 15. It's equipped with front and rear cameras, light detecting sensors, GPS, all kinds of stuff. And the main thing, too, it's an experiment for this for the year. They're going to do it. But the point is that over 37,000 people have died in motor vehicle crashes last year. 90% of them are human error. So this is something they're trying to work on to hopefully to reduce that number.
Okay.
Get people safer to where
they're
going.
Is it dope to you?
That's pretty dope, yeah.
I don't like it.
No?
No, I mean, you want a vehicle driving itself? Okay, now what if it gets into an accident? Who's responsible? Is your insurance rate going to go up? Are you going to have to pay for the other person's injuries?
Think about when you're on a bus, though. It's the same difference. No,
the car is your car, right?
No. This is like public transportation. It's going to be...
Because I know there's cars now that they're making that drive themselves.
Yeah, that's a little scary. I feel you on that
especially
on the highway. That I'm not sure how I feel about. I mean, I've always believed that... I think it's human perspective. There's things that a human can detect that just, you know, a machine, a robot just can't. They don't have, sense?
Instincts, right.
The instinct, there you go, yeah. So, you know,
I apologize. I was looking at a different story.
No, that's a tough one for me, too. That just sparked my brain because, like, that I'm not even sure how I feel about the autonomous cars.
I don't want a car that rides itself.
But this is more like a shuttle service. Like I said, they're going to experiment. And what's really dope to me, too, is just their motivation behind trying to make things safer. They're also going to donate $1. They haven't released how much it would cost to do this, like for person to drive to be, because it takes 11 people per shuttle. And I'm guessing there would be multiple different shuttles. There will donate $1 for every passenger who boards the shuttle, with a minimum donation of $100,000 to the Las Vegas Victims Fund for the tragedy October 1st.
Okay. So I like that.
Can't argue with that.
Now I like it even more. All right, this one, Colin Kaepernick. He's been blackballed, whatever you want to call it. He's not going to play in the NFL, I don't think, ever again. I hope I'm wrong. He was the fall guy for the cause with the police and the brutality and the unnecessary killings in different cities in the inner city or the hood. Well, he's been racking up awards, I can tell you that. He was the GQ Man of the Year, the ACLS Man of the Year, and just recently he was named Sports Illustrated Man of the Year. Give a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so proud and humbled to present the Muhammad Ali Legacy Award to Colin Kaepernick.
That was Beyonce with the introduction.
I accept this award knowing that the legacy of Muhammad Ali is that of a champion of the people, and one who was affectionately known as the people's champ. I accept this award not for myself, but on behalf of the people. Because if it were not for my love for the people, I would not have protested. And if it was not for the support from the people, I would not be on this stage today. With or without the NFL's platform, I will continue to work for the people, because my platform is the people.
There you go, Colin Kaepernick getting the award from Sports Illustrated as the Man of the Year. As I said, ACLS Man of the Year, GQ Magazine Man of the Year. Look, whether you think there was collusion, him being blackballed, the fall guy, whatever the case, not getting a job, all the other quarterbacks that he had numbers better than, he never got a call. He's a fall guy, and we'll remember him for that. And $89 million stronger from the owners for that in various communities through the next several years. So the players did get something from their employers, and the employers didn't have to give them that. So in a sense, it did work. And many of the players, I believe the majority of the players, if not all, are standing now for the national anthem, which is what I called for. Go to the owners, have them donate the money, and some money, and they donated more than I thought they would. And the players will come off the knee, and it's working. I didn't hear anything about any players on the knee this weekend. Perhaps there were. If so, I missed it. I'm watching football. So, Colin Kaepernick, you rock. And you're dope.
Dope. I don't think these guys are big Kaepernick fans. An interesting segue. This is a place in Tucson, Arizona called Cup It Up American Grill. They were forced to close 72 hours after a controversial Facebook post. The owners, Christopher Smith and Jay Warren, they wrote a lengthy post outlining what they do and do not advocate. Sounds harmless, right? You know?
Right.
Within 3 hours, I'm going to read this stuff in a second. Within 3 hours, the restaurant received so many negative complaints and threats of boycotting that they had to delete the post. By the next day, Cup It Up deleted all its social media accounts, according to Tucson.com. The restaurant received so many angry phone calls that several employees decided they'd rather quit than deal with them. The chef and the partner in the restaurant also quit and was reportedly meeting with an attorney to separate himself from the backlash. So some of the things... Oh, my cell phone is acting up. This is awesome.
Close it out.
Right. Well, I'm trying to find the list. Basically, most of the things they advocate, most of what they're advocating, you know, some of it's freedom of speech, things of that nature. And then, I apologize. It's my phone's acting up.
You don't have freedom of speech here, sir. Your phone's down.
I had the picture of the what the actual post was. They said some things. You know, they said standing for the national anthem. I really wish I had the list, but basically the things that were said were pretty controversial and very aggressive, I'll say, and somewhat negative. And so, you know, clearly the backlash, it kind of defeats my whole story without having the picture in front.
Way to be.
Yeah.
Way to be, dog.
Thanks, technology. See what I'm talking about robots? This
way to be dope. Way
yeah.
to,
right.
Let me move on, okay?
Yeah, I kind of have to. Basically, long story short, it's hate feed. One of the things was said was it's hate feedback, and it's for one reason only, that it's because we showed support for Donald Trump. There was nothing that we put in the post that was absolutely wrong and terrible, that we supported our president and our troops. There was an apology made, and they ended up still having to close the doors. So,
the restaurant's closed?
They're moving on, yeah.
Wow.
It was such a quick...
That's
the power of social media. also positive. You could do a lot of positive things too, but that can also happen.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, freedom of speech should be there, but I get your point. Look. All right. This one right here, I'll go back to the humor side. Sorry about that, man.
Got
that expensive phone. I've got this.
That's hilarious.
I've got this prepaid. Actually, I don't, but I'll call it a prepaid, and mine is better than yours. All right. Police in New Jersey say woman was drunk when she continued driving with a mass transit sign sticking out of the roof of her vehicle. The 52-year-old was pulled over this weekend on Route 66 in South Hackensack, that's New Jersey, when police noticed something odd. Police say the woman had a New Jersey transit sign protruding through the roof of her car. Okay, I'm talking about one of those signs that, like a stop sign.
Oh, not the big green highway one?
No, this is like a stop sign, just hanging through her windshield. It's hanging through the roof of her because she has like a moonroof, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's going through the moonroof. She doesn't even notice it. She's so drunk. So the police say the woman didn't even know the sign was there. So they eventually had to pull her over and cite her, charged her with driving while intoxicated and careless driving. I mean, what do you need sticking out of your car to let you know that something ain't right? Okay, you get in the car, there's something right there in the middle of it going through your roof, and you don't notice it. And you're driving because you're wiped out. You threw too many back. Well, that's what happened to this woman. She is a drunk dope.
Yeah, I have no sympathy for any drinking driving whatsoever. That's just me. I have a lot of angst against that. But that's just...
You know,
it's kind of like a sign, like stop sign.
I'll say this, and I'm not proud of it because it was so wrong. Years in the past, I did it so often. You know, I'd be playing blackjack and they'd be feeding you the water, and you're drinking it, and you're drinking it, and you're drinking it. And before you know it, you're wiped out, you're losing your money, and you leave mad.
Mm.
And so many times I made it home safely, and I'm sorry. I mean, believe me, don't try it. The odds are you're not going to make it home safely. I was very fortunate, but I would never do that again. Yeah. The worst thing you want is to not just hurt yourself, but there's somebody else that's going to be involved if you have an accident. So drinking and driving, you got to be a true dope and a drunk one. All right, we'll step away. We'll come back in that final go-round. Rebels, Mississippi Valley State, December 20th, up next.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
3:52 in the Valley, final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner at ReliableBanner.com. You sent that fruit fly over here,
I
man.
I told you didn't believe
me. Put that thing away from me, man.
He's looking for them snacks, the squirrel snacks.
He wants my peach nectar that I'm drinking over here. That's your fruit fly.
Hey, look at the sign. Incorrectly spelled, absolutely no food or drink in the studio.
Ha ha. Spank me.
Wow.
I might like it.
The fruit fly was sent by management to yell at us.
All right. LeBron James getting busy last night, huh? How about that three? He called it the Chicago play.
LeBron
James. That step back three. Put that game away. 13 straight victories now, and these boys are rolling. They're rolling. The Rockets are, and the Dubs are getting down. McGee is actually playing well again this year. Last night, Kevin Durant nearly had a triple-double. What was it, 36, 9, and 11? And because they had a couple of players out, Steph Curry out with the ankle, and also Draymond Green wasn't there, and they let him run the point. KD, Kevin Durant was running the point last night and getting busy. It was fun to see. All right, let's do the Rebel giveaway right here. Caller number 7 at 702-365-9200. You got the Rebel tickets coming up December 20th against Mississippi Valley State. Been to that campus. That's Jerry Rice's old alma mater. 702-365-9200. Rebs, Mississippi Valley State, December 20th. Thanks to you callers out there. To Ari, I'm Seat Williams. Folk, Pinstuck Logarts up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show tomorrow. NBC 920 Sports, game on, game over.